Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It is Tuesday, April 22nd. I'm your host, J.R. Davis. Joining me today is former Little Rock businessman and current GOP gubernatorial candidate, Curtis Coleman. Sir, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, J.R. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. All right. Well, obviously, we had a big debate this past weekend in the governor's race between you and former Congressman Asa Hutchinson. Just kind of give me your first thoughts on the debate. How'd you feel?
Well, actually, I didn't know how it felt until I had a chance to watch it later Sunday night. It's kind of like I often said, the only person in church service who didn't know how the sermon's going is the preacher. So when you're on the platform or behind the pulpit, either one, you don't have a sense of how things are going. But I watched the debate Sunday night, and I felt good about it.
What are some of the key points you think you made during the debate?
Well, I think it was important to distinguish between someone who's been creating jobs in Arkansas versus someone who spent a huge portion of their career in Washington. I think Arkansans are looking for Arkansas businessman who's been working in Arkansas most of his career, and I think that was an important distinction. I think it was important to also clear up the fact that there was a lot known about Eric Holder that I think should have dissuaded a conservative from making that endorsement when my opponent made the endorsement in 2008. I think that's still very troubling to a lot of Arkansans. You know, I think it was important to distinguish between our economic development plans. We both have tax cut plans, but I have an economic development plan that is part of my plan, and that's a written plan, and I think it was important to make that distinction.
Of course, we're going to get Asa Hutchinson on the show soon, so we can talk about it as well. Obviously, lots of interesting points made Saturday. There's a couple things I'd like to get to. One of the things that he brought up, and I just want to kind of hear you talk more than a minute about it. I know you didn't have a whole lot of time up there on Saturday.
Yeah, 60 seconds is tough.
It's tough, yeah, tough to get it all in there. When Mr. Hutchinson was up there, and you guys had a chance to kind of ask each other questions at one point, he brought up the fact that you were against having National Guard members go back overseas. Explain that situation. I think to a lot of people that aren't following as closely, it was probably intriguing to a lot of people. But explain your stance and explain that whole situation.
Well, thank you, JR. I appreciate that. It actually my original statement was in response to the announced drawdown of our defense forces, of our armed forces, and I see that as a further pressure on our Arkansas National Guard men and women, because we're drawing down our full-time active military service, and I'm concerned that we're going to see more frequent deployments of our Arkansas National Guard. And my point was that these men and women, they're trained for combat. They are equipped and qualified, and they're always ready to follow orders. It's not a matter of them not being unwilling to be deployed and not being, it's certainly not a question of them being capable. But my point was is that the men and women who signed up to be in the Arkansas National Guard signed up to do that primarily to be available to protect the citizens of Arkansas, especially in cases of catastrophic events like we have here sometimes in this time of year, and also, of course, to be available if the country needs them in theaters of combat. But the purpose of the National Guard was not to do what is happening to so many of our National Guard men and women, and that is to be deployed to theaters of combat 5, 6, 7 times. And these are men and women who are part-time soldiers. They don't have full-time military pay. They try to maintain their own jobs and own businesses, and they're losing their businesses, and they're having a tough time finding employment because they're being deployed so frequently. And my point is that's not the purpose of the Arkansas National Guard. And I think it's the governor's responsibility to protect those men and women who are trying to protect us.
Sure.
And that was my primary and fundamental point.
I should have brought this up first. I do want you to kind of talk about your economic development plan and tax plan and how it differs from that of Asa Hutchinson's. I'll give you a couple of minutes to go ahead and do that.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say that my opponent has proposed a tax cut for what he calls middle-income Arkansans, and it cuts taxes immediately for those in the middle-income brackets. My tax cut is a gradual tax cut, and I offer all Arkansans that occurs over a period of assuming an 8-year administration. And the reason I did that is because, number one, all taxpayers in Arkansas desperately need a tax cut, or desperately deserve, I should say, at least, a tax cut, because government in Arkansas costs too much. But the balance is that the rest of my plan is a very aggressive economic development plan. So the intent is to gradually reduce state income taxes for all Arkansans, while at the same time we broaden the tax base across Arkansas by aggressively developing new small businesses around the state. So it's a synchronized plan. We lower taxes for everybody, but we broaden the tax base for everybody, and that's how we compensate for the tax cuts.
How do you go about doing something like that? I know Arkansas, bringing business to Arkansas has been something that people have been chiming for a long time. There's more difficulties in it than, you know, just saying that we can do things like that. So for you, how would you do something like that?
Well, yeah, you know, in fact, if you look at look around the country, my plan is not, you know, I wish I could say that it was, you know, that it was creative and phenomenal and unheard of and, you know, and dynamic. But, you know, basically, if you look at the states across the country who have the most robust economies, they have several things in common. They have lower taxes. They've eliminated capital gains taxes. They've cut or eliminated corporate taxes. And the intent was to attract small businesses to their states. And that's an important concept, because we know that small businesses create 60 to 70% of all jobs in America. So what I proposed is basically the same concept. Let's remove the barriers and hurdles to small businesses arriving and thriving in Arkansas. For instance, let's eliminate corporate taxes on small businesses that have a net taxable income of less than $1 billion a year. I mean, the impact on Arkansas's tax revenue is nominal, but it's a huge hurdle that prevents small businesses from wanting to start up and operate in Arkansas. Let's eliminate capital gains taxes in Arkansas, because basically we have a barrier to start up capital. It's really tough to start a new business anywhere without money, and we prevent startup capital from being available to start up new businesses in Arkansas because of our capital gains tax, which almost none of the states around us have. The intent is to remove the hurdles and the barriers to letting small businesses start up and successfully operate in our state.
Okay.
And a couple of people, and it's only been a couple actually, call my plan radical, which frankly I thought was a little humorous, because if you look at my overall plan, JR, all I'm doing is just almost bringing Arkansas up to a level playing field with our surrounding states. I mean, my plan doesn't even get us up to a level playing field with our surrounding states, but it gets us close. So there's nothing radical about what I'm proposing.
Yeah, interesting. Another thing, too, that both candidates have been hitting on in this race have been education. You would like to shift some of the onus onto these or get the concentration back onto some of these, you know, two-year colleges and trade schools and things like that. I know you talked about that at the debate. There was one thing you mentioned, though, with all the tax cuts, you said you won't be spending any more money. Your idea is to actually move some of the money spent on other parts of education and move it towards some of these two-year trade school colleges, correct? Explain that.
Well, actually, it's the only thing adjustment I'm making is how we allocate some of our higher education funding. It doesn't affect K through 12.
Let me ask you, and I'm probably cut you off. That was one of the questions I had. So, if you're where would you take that from necessarily?
Well, what I'm suggesting is, and it's based on my premise that we have a critical skilled labor shortage in Arkansas, and that I think it's an emergency. I think we're going to have a tough time attracting, especially manufacturing businesses that are now moving back on shore to America because we don't have a skilled labor force. So what I'm suggesting is a temporary reallocation of some of the funds, and only a small portion of the funds actually, that are used for four-year universities, and temporarily transfer some of those. And it's a small fraction. I don't have the plan in front of me, but I don't remember the exact percentage. But let's transfer some of that over to two-year community colleges, fund our two community colleges' ability to provide vocational and technical training to high schools in their area and in their region, because I think it's going to be difficult to fund vocational technical training in all of our high schools, but we can do it through our two-year community colleges. And then in follow-up years, we gradually restore all that funding to our four-year universities. But it's the plan is addressed because I think we have a critical issue in Arkansas, and because I think it will do this one thing, and that is restore vocational and technical training in Arkansas, that one thing can dramatically influence the re-energize, the revitalization of our economy.
Do you think, I mean, like, when you're looking at something like education in Arkansas, to some degree, you know, when you look at it, Arkansas is lacking when it comes to education. And with higher education, when you kind of start pulling out funds and putting them other places, I think the toughest thing right now, and just because I was actually talking to universities back in October, you know, September, October, mm-hmm. November, and talking about what the strain is on them with budgets and then what the state's trying to do. Like, so how do you get that money? Because obviously it's a great plan to be able to do this, but how do you take this money? And when you say temporarily, what's your plan when you say temporarily?
Well, I'm not sure, JR, that I fully agree with the contention that there's a lot of enormous strain mm-hmm. on all of our four-year universities. In mm-hmm. fact, you know, frankly, the University of Arkansas lost a huge portion of what I think we need or couldn't find it just in their development division last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the money's there. I don't think that's true of all four-year universities in Arkansas. In fact, some of our universities in southern Arkansas, like UAM and Southern Arkansas University in Magnolia, have seen very restricted increases in their budget, and I'm really concerned about those. I think it's going to be a difficult task to sell the reallocation, but I think we have to recognize that it is, I think, a critical issue in the state of Arkansas, and I think we can, in one year, we can get our two-year community colleges adequately funded to do what they need to do, and I think in the next year, I think we can start resupplying any monies that may have been taken from four universities for the temporary project.
One last question, then we'll let you go. I know you're busy and going all over the place lately, campaigning. Of course, we're just a couple of weeks out from early voting, and then we have a month away from, when is early voting? We've got early voting coming up.
It starts May the 5th, yeah.
May the 5th, only, yeah, so man,
yeah,
so, yeah, about 2 weeks away.
Only a couple of weeks away, it starts.
These days run into other days, I'm telling you what.
It's like a freight train coming in.
I know, and then, of course, the primary on May 20th, so you've got a lot of work to do. But the last thing I want to talk about is, you mentioned private option. That was something you and Mr. Hutchison talked about, but you've said from the beginning you've been against it. Kind of explain that.
Well, I think the private option, bottom line, the private mm-hmm. option was the largest single expansion of government in Arkansas's history. We increased the number of people on Medicaid in Arkansas, potentially, depending on how many people sign up for it, potentially increase the number of people on Medicaid in Arkansas by about 50%. Mm-hmm. The end result is that more than a third of Arkansans will be on some kind of federal subsidy. And I think it moves the state of Arkansas in the wrong direction. I want to see us revitalize the economy in the state so that the bottom line is, instead of trapping people on government programs that eventually fail, I want to, instead of putting more people on Medicaid, I want to create an economy of Arkansas where fewer people need Medicaid. And that's one of the goals of my administration, to increase the median household income of Arkansans by at least 30% over the next 8 years. And I believe the private option took us in the wrong direction. I think it dramatically increased the cost of the program. I think it dramatically increases the size of government, which always negatively affects private sector and private economy.
I think it's interesting in this aspect with the private option, because you do have a kind of a line drawn in the sand between the Republican Party and those against it, those for it. I think a lot of the things too were, and just to get the right, if you were there, you would have voted against it or you would have vetoed it, correct? Is that what
you're saying? Yes, okay. That's correct.
And
yes.
I think it was one of those things where the legislature, you ask whoever it was under the gun on something like this. What would you have done? What would you have done in that situation as far as a decision needed to be made? Maybe there wasn't enough time to come up with an alternative plan as far as you know, getting that money in there. But I'm it's interesting to me because there is such a distinct difference between Republicans right now.
Well, I agree with that, you know, and I think people were under the gun. But fundamentally, if you look at all the states around us, not one of the states around Arkansas has expanded Medicaid like Arkansas did. So the concept that we had to do it, I think, was erroneous. I don't think it had to be done. And that's the first contention that I had with those who supported it. Secondly, there was concern about rural hospitals. And I will tell you, I've been talking to some of our rural hospital administrators, and they're telling me that that it's not going to help them, that what they expected from it is not going to be delivered. And what I proposed was, if our rural hospitals were in that kind of significant problem, we could have created some kind of state subsidies, state-funded subsidies for those hospitals on a temporary basis that would have cost a fraction of what the private option is going to end up costing. On top of that, we have people in the federal government, like some of our congressmen, are telling us that, and for instance, Tim Griffin and Rick Crawford, who are telling us that the federal government doesn't have the money to pay for the private option in Arkansas. And if you look at our burgeoning debt in our federal government and what we contributed to that, those are all huge strikes against the private option, in my thinking.
All right, Curtis Coleman, former Little Rock businessman and current GOP candidate for governor, thank you so much for joining time with us today.
I enjoyed it, JR. Thank you so much for the opportunity. You have a great day.
You too. Good luck the rest of the way. This has been another Natural State of Politics. I am your host, JR Davis, for our director, Jeff Campbell. We'll have another one of these on Thursday. Hope we'll be talking with former Congressman Asa Hutchinson. And we'll ask him about the debate that took place on Saturday as well. Until next time.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.